All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Tuesday, May 23rd. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis
sitting right across from me. DFSR offices.
Here's our live podcast production. Yeah. Say hi, everyone.
Yeah,
what are you doing? Good looking.
Especially you, James. You're the best looking. Yeah, sitting at DFSR Northeast offices. I'm Doug Norrie. That's James Davis. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. As always, at the beginning of the podcast, we'd like to remind you can still head over and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. MLB, NBA now over with the sweep of the Warriors last night. So, MLB for the rest of the season, you're good to go free for 3 days.
For the rest of the long season.
29.
5 months left of MLB, so hop on now before you miss out.
$29.95 a month after that. All right, we got a Tuesday slate of baseball. Pretty interesting, mostly because anytime Kershaw pitches, he pretty much has to lead the discussion.
Yeah, the elephant in the room.
Right, exactly. And all you're really asking yourselves when he pitches is the matchup good enough for the price? And today, unlike other days, and I'm going to couch this by saying that since the beginning of the year, I believe every time Kershaw has pitched, he's been in our optimal lineups pretty much from like the first run of them in the morning all the way through lineup lock. Today right. is not the case. So case for Kershaw, case against. Like, what are your thoughts here? I mean, are we... Is it going to feel weird possibly going into cash games without Kershaw tonight?
Well, the case for, I think, is pretty straightforward. You know, he's probably, even in spite of a small sample size this season, the best pitcher in the major leagues. He has an above-average matchup today with the Cardinals, who rank in the bottom half of the league in both WOBA against left-handed pitching and striking out against left-handed pitching. And the money line is heavily in his favor. So if you like all those things, then you probably like Kershaw quite a bit. The question, as always, is going to come down to price and who are other options. But at first blush, like if you just showed me that sight unseen of any other information, I would assume he would show up in our optimal lineups.
Yeah, he's not there right now. He's about 3 points off the top one on FanDuel, and I think about the same amount on DraftKings as well, because there is another guy we're going to talk about pretty coming up here in a second. You know, Kershaw, is the question with him, I think, right now is the early season returns on what he's been doing this year are down for his career, right? Like, so he's, for his career, somewhere in that, like, 11 Ks. Actually, he's a little lower, but right around 10 Ks for his career, though, but that's drawing a little bit from earlier when he was
before he became Clayton Kershaw.
Right. It's the last, like, 3 years where he's just dialed it up another notch. This year, he's down to actually less than a strikeout per inning, and that is... I don't know if it's cause for concern. The xFIP is a little higher than it's been in the past. The ERA is still fine at 2.15. Walking a few more things. I mean, a few more guys, but that's like...
splitting hairs.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know. Are you concerned that the strikeout numbers are down?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, like, we were trying to puzzle this out earlier before we got recording today, and you could, I guess, point to strength of schedule things, except the Rockies have actually struck out a ton. He's faced them a couple times. He's basically only faced teams out of the National League West. He has pitched in Coors twice, which, you know, across 54-inning sample size, that actually could play a relatively significant factor. But, yeah, I think if you're going to see Kershaw go from a guy who's going to strike out, you know, 11-plus guys per nine down to nine, even if it's over 54 innings, we're talking a quarter of a season now, or, you know, a fifth of a season if you're Clayton Kershaw, and that's somewhat significant. I don't think we want to move the needle on him too dramatically, but I think we at least take notice.
Yeah, he's minus 240 right now. That's actually come down a little bit, started around 260. So money line coming down on him a little bit, run line for the Cardinals coming up a little bit. This is going to be the close call heading into lock, I think, and we'll probably just take a look at a few more inputs. It's going to matter what that Cardinals lineup is too, I think, to some degree.
Yeah, that's true.
Taking up possibly his strikeout, taking up or down his strikeout expectation. So a good play, very expensive. And
I think I'd still like to have him. I mean, he's not like a 12-6. We've paid almost 14 for him on FanDuel and felt okay about it. So I think I'd still like to play him, but I guess the question is, yeah, who are other pitching options today, and are there good bad options to kind of fill in around the periphery?
The guy coming into lineups right now is McCullers, and he is another guy. He's been very good this year. Actually, his numbers aren't too dissimilar this year from what Kershaw has actually been doing. He's another huge money line favorite. He was going the opposite direction in a good way. He started at minus 190 and is now up to minus 223 for the Astros. He's facing against a Tigers team that's pretty righty heavy up and down the lineup. Would you feel, looking at that money line, you know, because win expectation matters here, and the fact that he is significantly less in price, he's about $2,500 less, at least on FanDuel. No, actually more. He's $3,000 less on FanDuel. I mean, that's a significant savings to be able to pay up for bats. Are the numbers for him good enough that you could feel like you can fade Kershaw here and roll McCullers against the Tigers?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, McCullers, if you're not familiar with him too much, I mean, if you play DFS, you probably are at least loosely familiar with him. But he's a real guy. You know, he came up in the Astros system, double-digit Ks per nine in the minors. Spent all three seasons in the majors with more than a K per inning. His career xFIP in the majors is 3.19. Like, he's just a real pitcher, and he's not quite priced like the ace that he probably will round out into. And he's showing signs that at just 23 years old, that he might, this might be just his breakout season. So I'm happy to play McCullers. And I think actually the him showing up in the optimal lineups is more about how good he is than any sort of particular concern about Kershaw.
Yeah, he's figured out the one thing that was causing him issues last season, which is the walks, right? The control is, I mean, I'm not saying you can't call him like fully cured of this, but the early season returns on his control are, he's down to 2.5 walks per nine, which you can live with. I mean, you're talking, when you strike out 10 per nine and walk 2.5, you're talking ace level stuff at that point. 2.69 xFIP. He's throwing his changeup more, which is probably, he must be controlling the changeup well. I'm not saying that's a singular reason he's walking less guys, but it is a definitive difference in his repertoire that he's just throwing this one pitch more, and it's probably even more of an out pitch to be able to reduce the walks. I love the money line here. I actually do think he probably ends up being the chalk play because you get such a savings on him. I mean, look, we don't have that lineups yet, so it's hard to know if we're going to get some cheap guys that are going to come to the top of the lineup, and that could push Kershaw a little bit higher. At least the margin's a little bit thinner in terms of like how much the difference in lineups. But I feel fine with McCullers. He's $3,200 less on DraftKings, $3,000-ish less on FanDuel. That's significant enough that I think I'm just going to be okay with it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think with Kershaw, or I'm sorry, with McCullers, it's important to not take last season's control numbers too seriously, simply because he missed more than half the season with injury, right? So given that he only threw 81 innings in the majors last year, he was still able to strike a ton of guys out. Yeah, he walked a lot of guys, but I'm going to look more carefully at his 2015 season, where he had just 3 walks per nine. And I'm looking at this season as a very natural progression from 2015 to now, where he increases the K per nine by 0.7, decreases the walks per nine by 0.6. That just looks like sustainable growth from a guy who threw his first season in the majors at age 21. That's really unusual. I mean, you know, most ace-level pitchers in the majors don't even hit the majors until they're McCullers' age now. So I think more growth is there, and it's a great spot for him.
After these two guys, who I do think are pretty much the whole conversation, at least in terms of cash games on FanDuel, it does get a little harder on DraftKings today because rostering them together means you're giving up a ton of expectation on bats. I mean, this is 11:30 Eastern, so there could be cheaper guys that come in throughout the day with lineups, of course. But after those two guys, DraftKings starting pitcher two, you're gonna have to go cheap, almost definitely. So somewhere in like that 7,000 or less range to be able to fit any bats. Who can we start taking a look at there?
Yeah, I mean, it does fall off a cliff a little bit. I mean, I think it all depends if you're willing to get away from Kershaw, because you could conceivably do something like pair Carrasco with McCullers or something if you really wanted to. I don't think that's too advisable. I mean, he's actually just a really good pitcher, Carrasco. I think he's generally underrated in fantasy circles because he's kind of been doing the same very solid but kind of unspectacular routine for quite a while, mostly based on his excellent control. The problem is that the matchup is just brutal for him today. Pitching against Cincinnati at Cincinnati is about as bad a matchup as possible, so I think he's kind of wiped off the table. And actually, that was kind of a theme for me in trying to find pitchers for today's slate. Good guys that had one thing that made me a little bit less excited about them. So, you know, you got Lester, but he's pitching in Chicago against San Francisco, who doesn't strike out much. Cueto's a good pitcher, but he's pitching against the Cubs. Porcello, okay, but pitching in Boston, which isn't great, against Texas, who has some bats. So it kind of goes up and down. The other guy, though, that I'm still looking at is the guy we rolled with last time, Doug. Maddie, too batty. There's not a good lot of things that rhyme with Maddie. Also, Matt Schumacher, who is building off last season's campaign by adding another strikeout per nine. Yeah, the walks have been a little bit troublesome, but he's still been kind of making it work and was excellent for us last time around when he played him. I don't think I'm over the moon with Schumacher necessarily, but you got to love him going into Tampa Bay and pitching in that excellent park against a team that hits right-handed pitching a lot worse than they hit lefties. So taking all those factors together, and he's a guy, I mean, the Rays, like, I'm sure you've looked at this, but their strikeout numbers this season have been off the charts, leading the league in strikeouts against both righties and lefties. So yeah, I'm interested in Schumacher.
I don't mind it. I'm not over the moon about it. I think it's risk-reward because the Rays do have some lefty bats in there. Dickerson's been kind of crushing the ball this season. He'll probably hit leadoff. He struggles with the control. The walks are still sort of a problem for him. He's walking like 3.5 per 9. So, yeah, I don't know. I was looking at some other guys in that same price range, even just a little cheaper than him. 9,200 feels kind of steepish to pay.
Yeah, that's true. The price has gone up. I'm just more looking for, like, if you want to level out with relative consistency, I think he's a guy you can look at.
Yeah, the system's drawing on some other guys. Joe Ross is one guy that it's not minding. He's not a huge K guy, though the control is decent. He's a pretty big money line favorite. I think that's helping him here at the price. He's somewhere like in the minus 150 range for the Nationals. And I think you can not count on, like, you know, north of 5 innings for him. But at minus 160 for a guy coming in the 6,000 range against a Seattle lineup that they have a couple bats there, but they kind of do fall off a cliff once you get past Cruz in that lineup. So I don't mind it. They're only, you know, a 4-run expectation for a guy like Ross is, to me, an acceptable risk. It's not a guy that I probably want to go 100% all in on. So this would be a night where I'm sort of, we did this last night as well, where we kind of shifted around some JC Ramirez and some Jared Eichhoff and just had little bits of a couple different guys in cash games. I think that's fine. I can see that being the case here tonight also, with Joe Ross being one of those guys.
So Ross has a 7.5 ERA this season. Tell me why that doesn't matter.
Yeah, that ERA is on the back of some, I guess, some BABIP issues and possibly some home run. It'll actually, never mind. It's home run per nine issues, where he's like three home runs per nine, which is just not a sustainable number for hitters to kind of go yard on him like that. The xFIP is 4.19, which is just, that's actually probably the reality for him. That's around where he's been for his career. 8 Ks per nine, only 2.3 walks. So you can live with that. I wouldn't look at that ERA and kind of, I wouldn't read anything into the air. I know you're not, and you're just,
I think that's fair. It's a reasonable kid too. I mean, he's only 24 years old. I think there is actually a decent amount of upside built in there, and I think particularly on the innings pitched, I think he's been getting chased from games very early, and that's led to his price getting deeply depressed. And if those home runs, which absolutely should revert back to about that 1 per 9 level, come in, I think he's a really solid play. And whether I'm still not super excited by him necessarily, no. But I think when you can make a reasonable case that this is the cheapest his price will be for the rest of the season, that's a pretty decent time to be a buyer.
Another guy in the system I like your thoughts on is German Germán Márquez from the Rockies. He's only 6,600, obviously not pitching in Coors, which is already going to help, well, anybody that's on the Rockies. But could you live with a guy like him coming at a cheaper price point today against a weaker hitting Philly team?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was reasonable in the minors. His major league success has sort of been up and down, but the thing I love about him is he's shown he can really do it against tough lineups. You know, his two best starts of the season are in Coors and at Chicago. At Arizona and the Cubs in Coors. So the fact that he could go 8 innings and get 8 Ks against those two teams lets me know that he has all the upside I need for big tournaments. And while he actually hasn't been super consistent on the road, he was pretty consistent in the minors. He's still very young. He advanced through the levels pretty quickly. And I think he actually has a chance to become like a pretty polished major league pitcher. So, yeah, I think he's still very cheap on DraftKings. FanDuel at 8,500, I'm not too interested. That just seems like, what am I doing playing German Márquez if I'm going to spend 8,500? But on DraftKings in a pitcher 2 slot, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, we actually played him last time. He played against the Twins. Kind of faded Irvin Santana on that slate and went with the Márquez line. And so the system actually was able to call out pretty...
Yeah, somewhat hip to him.
Yeah, has been able to call out plus spots for him at the price. I don't mind it. Strikeouts are just there enough that you can live with it. And I can see having a little bit of him, a little bit of Ross, possibly maybe a little bit of Schumacher, but I'm not as sold on that one, mostly because of the price, like I said.
Sorry, Doug, you can't always play the chalk, man. You got to sometimes go for it in big tournaments. You got to have a little courage, a little... Huevos, as my friends.
I will say, we were talking about it earlier today, but we were talking about, and last night as well, but we're just talking about just how surprised I've been at just not really getting away with, like, Jared Eichhoff being a 50% start in cash games last night is a sign that, like, people are pretty much in lockstep for how they're modeling at this point, or like where they're getting their information. Because Eichhoff was a guy we had too, but it's just not a guy that really jumps off the paper towards you. But when all of a sudden, when you open up DraftKings, when it starts, and he's a 50% start, you start wondering, are we all kind of just doing the same thing?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few big outfits, ours included, that are the market makers, and we put the information out into the world. And, you know, our baseball system has proved to be very trustworthy and reliable this season. So people sign up, they stay on, they keep winning, they tell their friends and so on. And I think that there's a lot of kind of known commodities in baseball these days. Opposing team strikeout rates, parks, you know, just opposing teams, WOBA, Vegas lines, like, none of this is reinventing the wheel. I think the real art to constructing DFS lineups these days is actually optimizing them, and that's why we moved away from a kind of build-your-own optimizer system to actually offering an optimized system that allows people to calculate kind of one-click optimal lineups on the various sites. And I think when you use one of those, you'll see that the parts just kind of fit together in certain ways, optimal ways in frequent nights. So,
well, one more guy to mention before we move on to hitters, and I think people could talk themselves into Matt Harvey mostly because of the matchup here. The Padres are still a team you want to target in DFS. They're still bad. I know that they have guys in the middle of the lineup. They're a little, you know, they're above replacement, which is what they were kind of throwing out there last season, which is basically replacement level or below players. Harvey has been real bad this season, and there's signs that it's just not really going to come back for him, possibly. The strikeouts are down. The walks are up. He's kind of a head case, like if you missed that earlier in the season where he just gets suspended for just like not showing up for a game or didn't show up for a workout because he was out partying too long like the night before. Like, he's kind of a mess. I do think people might be able to talk themselves into it because the money line's okay. The Padres are still really not in there for any real implied runs. I don't think it's a place I'm going to go. I just don't trust it on him, I don't think.
No, but it's a good big tournament call out. I mean, especially on DraftKings where you can oftentimes get separation. Like, so, well, yeah, Harvey may not be the ideal play. But if you thought for some reason German Marquez was going to be chalk and Harvey would be more fringe, it'd be totally reasonable to split them up across two lineups and kind of see what happens.
All right, before we get to some stacks to close the show, I guess we're about halfway through, hit us with a sponsor.
Yeah, so I'd like to talk today about FantasyFactor.com. FantasyFactor.com is a relatively new mover, but still trustworthy in the DFS space. We've been working with them for about a year. And what FantasyFactor really allows you to do is play smaller contests against less serious competition. Everyone knows by now that if you're playing on FanDuel and DraftKings, you're going to be up against sharks putting in 100 lineups, your Chipotle addicts of the world who scoop up most of the money on the top end. And it can be a little bit frustrating. You know, like we talked about seeing Jared Eichhoff as a 50% start on DraftKings. That type of stuff just tends to not happen on Fantasy Factor as often. And so I find it to be a great place to point casual friends of mine who want to dip their toes into DFS before getting a little bit more serious. And also, if you just play with a smaller bankroll from night to night, $20 or less, you can easily get great games on FantasyFactor.com. You sign up with them, use promo code DFSR, and you get a $5 entry ticket that you can just use in a contest straight away. So FantasyFactor.com, check them out. They've got weekly free rolls for MLB and other sports as the seasons come along. And we really like those guys over there. So hope to see you at Fantasy Factor sometime soon.
All right, let's talk some stacks that we can get into for cash games and tournaments as well. Do you see the run line for the D-backs is way higher than anybody else? They're hovering around 6.5 right now, and no one else is really over 5.5 at this point. And probably if they're not over at this point, I can't imagine they get ticked up too much higher any of the teams. Do you see the D-backs as just pretty much the cash chalk, at least on offense for stacks today?
I think they have to be, right? I mean, they've got the highest WOBA in the majors against right-handed pitching. It makes them play, you know, we frequently will see D-backs slide into the lineup almost regardless of who they play. And this team, they happen to be up against Dylan Covey, who's maybe the worst pitcher in the majors
right now. Yeah.
He's up there, at least. I mean, there's some other contenders. We have some real stinkers. But not only that, and they're fantastic home park. So it's one of those dream scenarios where, you know, you don't love the prices. This actually could be another case why you go in the direction of a guy like McCullers over Kershaw, because that extra $3,000 to spread around does make a big difference when you can get, you know, maybe it's the difference between upgrading to Goldschmidt or something like that. And yeah, that really adds up. So I'm all in. Covey, his xFIP this season, if he had managed to stay enough innings out there, would be the second worst in all of the majors, and it's just a dream spot.
So. Yeah, he's like, again, I think we made this joke last time, but he's one of these guys, like, I'm running so bad on my ERA this year, it's 7.64, and my xFIP is actually only 5.4.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, those extra two runs are killing me.
Does anyone just feel like I'm the unluckiest guy in the majors? I mean, I do have a 5.35 strikeout rate with a 4 walk per 9. He actually was able to walk more batters than he struck out last game, 3-1, going the wrong way.
Things are heading in the right direction.
No, he's the worst. I think you see Peralta was a huge chalk play last night. His price is ticking up to 3,300. He'll almost surely be chalk again if he's hitting second. Same with Gregor Blanco. If he's hitting leadoff, he's still only 2,400. And FanDuel, you easily fit those guys. And then you're kind of just taking your pick. If, you know, Owings shows up there, Jake Lamb, you could see getting some ownership, though he's actually getting, he and Goldschmidt are pretty expensive at this point. So you might be making, even with McCullers, you probably are making some kind of price judgment. I do not think you can play all of them in a lineup together with being over 4,000. But like I said, Peralta and Blanco, if they're hitting 1-2, I can't imagine they're just not complete chalk, at least on FanDuel. It's probably a little bit closer on DraftKings, though. And never mind, Blanco's only 3,200 over there, so I take that back. They're going to be the most popular play after the Diamondbacks, which I do think come in as the chalk for probably both GPPs and cash games. Who else can we target after them?
I actually think equally good and perhaps even better, just based on the prices that you can get on these guys, are the Astros. So the Astros this season, I mean, I mentioned the Diamondbacks were kind of running away with that top spot in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching. The Astros aren't that far behind. They're 15 points off, and they're in fifth place, and that's pretty solid to begin with. And they have arguably, if you go by this season's stats, they have an even better matchup against Jordan Zimmermann. So Jordan Zimmermann, you know, his Ks have fallen off. He really only had one season as a truly effective pitcher. But since then, it's really been off the rails. Last season, his Ks dropped below 6. They're still below 6 this season. And his ground ball rate is the lowest I've ever seen since doing this job. 26% ground ball rate is a complete abomination. And what it really lends itself to is tons of home runs. Yep. And so he's given up a lot of home runs this season. 2.22 home runs per 9. And he's not even really running that bad at all. It's just every single guy hits a home run. The Astros have plenty of guys that can take advantage of that. A lot of explosive power on that team. A decent amount of left-handed power, too. We talked about how last season they were really tough off against right-handed pitchers. They really shored up a lot of their issues. And I could see playing any of the guys from the first through fifth slots in that lineup tonight.
Yeah, the only thing that holds the run line down for them is the park, I suppose. That's the difference, probably. The park going,
I guess,
from,
yeah, that's
from,
true.
For Arizona.
But those, the prices are cheaper. That's the thing, right? So, right. Like, I think you wind up with a decent spread, especially, like, say you just grab McCullers, I think you can wind up with a decent spread between Diamondbacks and Astros, depending on how the prices work out. And I would be thrilled with that. That actually makes me pretty excited about this slate.
No, Zimmermann, I knew he had not been good. I did not realize he was this bad. His xFIP is actually higher.
It's the
than
worst
Kobe's
in the majors.
Yeah. So you're looking at two guys with just terrible xFIPs, and that is just a great spot to be. So if you can just kind of double stack in the Astros and the Diamondbacks tonight feels like a pretty plus way to go. I don't mind some of these other teams too. I don't really like. I don't mind the Orioles here against Irvin Santana. Irvin Santana was a guy who the ERA was looking real good for him to start the season. It was completely smoking mirrors.
Paper tiger.
Like completely smoking mirrors. I was actually watching the last game where he pitched, and the announcers in the old don't understand any real stats were just praising him. They're like just going nuts about Irvin Santana, and in the background is just him getting absolutely slammed by the Rockies, even in Minnesota. So it kind of the regression wheels fell off for him pretty quickly. I don't mind the Orioles. They have a good park for them. You're not worried about the righty-righty matchup for guys like Machado or even Adam Jones, who are better against righties.
They prefer righties.
Right, so Seth Smith at the top of the lineup looks good. Trumbo, Chris Davis, the people are going to be much more on the Astros and the Diamondbacks tonight. And you know, Irvin Santana will still continue to scare some people away because the ERA is still sort of in the lowish range. But I don't mind the Orioles here as a team that I suspect goes under-owned for the reasons I kind of mentioned. Anyone else that you can kind of sink your teeth into after those three teams?
Yeah, sure. I think anytime the Nationals are up against a right-handed pitcher, they're worth taking note of. Tonight they're up against Christian Bergman. So Christian Bergman's another one of these guys. Good ERA to start off the season. The peripherals don't totally match up. I mean, he's like somewhat of a guy, but not really. So I'm just not overly concerned about him whatsoever. He's really just getting by on turning a lot of his contact into outs. His 4.2 xFIP tells much more of the tale than his 2.2 ERA. So the Nationals, yeah, we have yet another top five team against right-handed pitching up against a bad right-handed pitcher. And you get, especially if you get Bergman out of the friendly confines of Seattle, I think this gets even more attractive. So I'm definitely intrigued by the Nationals. And I'm also just more intrigued. I think you talked about how the industry as a whole is kind of consolidating its focus on a certain stack, certain pitchers. And that's actually a big advantage for us in terms of big tournaments. So when I see a team like the Nats, who I think will be lesser owned than the other teams we've talked about, the Astros and the Diamondbacks, but relatively similar value, I become pretty intrigued.
And one other thing just about pricing today, the sites have gone kind of over, especially FanDuel is way over correcting prices when it comes to guys facing Kershaw. So if you look at some of the prices on some of the guys today, like guys like Dexter Fowler is coming in at $1,600 on FanDuel. like it's one of these things. I get why it's Kershaw. This is the opposite of the Coors effect with some of these pricing. They're sort of daring you. They're saying this happened with Posey and Pence last time when they played the Giants. Where you're kind of saying to yourself, I mean, what's the lowest I can play a player? And 1600, I haven't done it yet, and maybe I will in a second, but it would be interesting to see if you actually start sliding these guys in. If you take off the filter of disallow pitchers versus hitters where you get us. So well, that's something to take a look at today. I'm not sure I love the move here and just kind of daring you to do it, but this does it brings the thing of there's a price you can pay for anybody. Like you can get low enough on anybody, and so now they're kind of in this zone of let's dare you and to see what those prices are and see if it's correct. And Kershaw's not striking enough guys that I don't think you can at least you can consider it at least for a stack. I think
at 1600, it's completely ridiculous. Right. Actually, like that's not a fair price for him. It is kind of tough. Because you don't picture them scoring a lot of runs, but he doesn't need to do much. Like if he gets on base twice or walk and steal or hits a double, like any of that just pays the price kind of automatically. So yeah, definitely worth it.
Yeah, Fowler 1600, Piscotty 1800, Carpenter 1500, Jorko 1900, and that's the top four of the lineup. No one's over 2000 for any of the Cardinals today.
I also find it weird that they make these like kind of binary calls. Like so like it's not that they adjust prices along a gradient based on the pitcher that you're facing. It's just there's definitely something hardwired where it's like if against Kershaw divide price by two, or like
same
if playing in
course
1.5x price, like, and I find that to be I guess just strange. I think that's a big market inefficiency because facing Kershaw isn't really that different than facing Chris Sale. So
right, because
one
was,
is right and one is wrong.
Right, because if it was done on, like you said, on a gradient scale, then it would be like, you know, 1.5x for Coors and 1.35x for Chase, and kind of right. It would go along those ways. But they don't do it. They just have these two set constraints in there, Kershaw and Coors, and it just does. It seems silly. I don't know. So anyway, it's something to consider tonight when you're looking at just guys coming for absolute free. All right, we're gonna get out of here. Go enjoy some family time. We're from DFSR.com. DFSR.com/MLB will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We'll be back later in the week doing some more podcasting. Enjoy a pretty interesting slate of baseball, buddy. I'm telling you to enjoy it, even though I'm going to be hanging out with you the rest of the day.
Yeah, can't wait, man. Peace.